All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
And welcome back to the Oasis podcast. This is episode 51, and this is the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I'm recording this on Monday morning. It's a bank holiday. It's a beautiful sunny day here in South Oxfordshire. And last night I was in an also beautiful sunny Cardiff. And my day was made even more sunny and beautiful by the inclusion of Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds, because I went to see them play at the Motorpoint Arena. As I've said in previous episodes, my first time seeing Oasis was in March 1996 at that very arena, and it was very strange walking into it because it looks pretty much the same. I had this bizarre flashback. I haven't been back since, and I thought, yeah, I know this place. This is where I saw Oasis. And I remember being outside waiting for my mate's mum to come and pick us up, and seeing an I Am the Walrus in the street, because they were still finishing with I Am the Walrus at that point. So it was really good to be back in Cardiff. It was a great day. And I'll dig into the review in a bit. We've also got a lot of other gig reviews as well from other people that have seen Noel on the tour. So thank you very much to everyone that sent those in, and we'll get to those shortly. And also for this episode, we haven't got a main interview focus, because we're just going to be focusing on the Noel live stuff. So we are also going to be digging into the track Alive for the latest in the Oasis A to Z series that we've been doing. Alive 8-track demo, as it's listed. And once again, thank you, because a couple of you guys have sent in or audio reviews of Alive, giving your thoughts as well, which is really good. So we will get into that in a bit. So in terms of news, the only other thing really, because Noel has been doing this UK tour, and that's pretty much been the news of that, so we'll obviously cover those off as and when we get to the different reviews. As far as Liam's concerned, he's still over in LA. He's still over doing recording on this new album with Andrew Wyatt and with Greg Kirsten. And if you follow Andrew Wyatt on Instagram, that's Wyatt-ish, he's been posting a few little videos of Liam here and there, so that's cool to see. Liam's also been back on Twitter carrying on his attacks on Noel's wife Sarah, which isn't pleasant. He's called another witch. Man City won the Premier League a couple of days ago, and Noel and Sarah were there to meet Pep Guardiola, and Liam was attacking Sarah for not going and seeing their mum Peggy, but hanging out with the Man City guys. He called her a glory supporter. As I've said in here, I don't really like this stuff. I prefer it if he didn't do all these attacks on her, but, you know, that's Liam for you, isn't it? But other than that, fairly quiet on the news front from those guys. So I was hoping to actually get some time with a couple of High Flying Birds yesterday. Ultimately, it didn't end up happening, which was a shame, but I did get some time with a few other people, and we picked up with a few listeners, some that you will have heard from before and some not. So let's go in with the story of my day yesterday, and what we're going to start off with was me arriving at the venue. I got a message on Twitter from Jack Perrett, who is at J Perrett Music, and he sort of said, come down and see me, I'm at the venue, I'll be busking outside. So I went and had a stroll down, and we had a chat to Jack. So here is me and Jack having a chat outside the venue. So we're here outside the venue. I'm here with, what's your name, mate?
Jack Perrott.
Hello, Jack. How are you doing?
No, very good, thank you.
And you've just turned up with a very smart electro-acoustic guitar,
yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, Washburn guitar, yeah. It's my first ever guitar. So
very, very nice.
Just doing my busking, yeah.
And so we're just busking here outside the venue, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to the gig?
A ticket for a gig. So I do this quite often. I done it for Liam's, when Liam played here in December.
Yeah.
And when Kasabian played here. So I always do busking. And when Liam played in Brixton in London, I went down to London. I done a bit of busking outside the queue. So if anyone's listening, they might see me at some of Liam's gigs or Noel's gigs. So yeah.
Now, you don't look as old as most Noel Gallagher fans.
No.
How old are you, mate?
24.
You're 24.
Yeah,
okay. So how come Oasis, like?
I've always been into Oasis. I remember when I was a kid in the 90s, I had Morning Glory on cassette. Remember that. And then just since I'd say then in my early teens, I got into everything else. And obviously Definitely Maybe and all the albums, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've always been into Oasis, the band that got me playing the guitar, really, you know, and writing songs. So
nice one. Yeah. All right, do you want to give us this little snatch of something, mate? What's next on the list?
I can play Supersonic if you want.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Here you go. This is Jack Parrott. Right, we're here at the Cardiff, what used to be Cardiff International Arena, which is now the Motorpoint Arena. I'm here with Joel. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good.
You're looking forward to seeing Noel?
Very much so, yeah.
Now, have you seen the High Flying Birds before?
No.
So you saw Oasis a few times, but...
I did, twice, at Wembley, old and new.
And why have you not been seeing Noel before? What's going on? Are you not a real fan?
Yeah, I'm a plastic fan. To be honest, mate, it's because you gave me a free ticket and begged me to come with you.
Well, thank you very much.
Hang on, you got a free ticket?
Yeah, no, not quite. So I'm also joined by Michael. How are you doing,
Michael? Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So Michael helped me out because I'm a person who shall not be named, Ben, dropped out and left me with a spare ticket. And Michael very kindly stepped up and paid me face value for the ticket, so it's not be too silly. But
we had to renegotiate.
Yeah, and you've basically got a season ticket here, haven't you?
Well, I was here last night, and Noel was always a gig I wanted to go to, but just because I couldn't afford it at the time and whatever, and it all worked out this weekend.
Okay.
Mannix last night, Noel tonight, it's just perfect.
And then the Blue Tones.
And the Blue Tones on Friday night.
Fair enough.
So I'm being retro.
This is a very Britpop weekend.
Britpop.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Once you're, because you're about the same age as us, so were you a similar thing? When did you get into Oasis?
I got into Oasis around late 1994. I was a bit aware of them, but the first time that it really grabbed my attention, I was listening to the Evening Session, like a roundup of the year, and they played Sad Song.
Okay.
And that was the first time I really probably heard Noel singing. And for some reason, that just got me. I don't know why. And you know how something just grabs you and you move on from that? That was it.
Where we're living in this town, the sun is coming up and it's going down, but it's all just the same at the end of the day. And we cheat and we lie, nobody says it's wrong, so we don't ask why, 'cause it's all just the same.
And wow. I would forever love Sad Song from that band.
So that was your entry drug, was Sad Song?
Yeah, Sad Song. I know, it's not like their stuff at the time.
Yeah.
But it was just that moment.
And did you see him live throughout the 90s?
I know, because I was too young. My mum wouldn't let me go to gigs because people, she didn't like them jumping about, and people at gigs took drugs.
Yes, well, they do.
They played Bournemouth the same night that Blur were playing Bournemouth.
Yeah, that was the famous one.
And I wanted to go to Bournemouth, but she wouldn't let me.
Because there was going to be battles in the streets.
I was 15. I think Blur cancelled in the end.
Right, okay.
I think. And then I wanted to go to Nebworth. It's too far away, you can't go. So the first time I saw them was Oasis at Wembley Stadium in 2000.
Okay, which night?
The shit night.
Yeah, but more entertaining.
No, it was a good night, but I only realised when I watched it afterwards how bad Liam's singing was.
Okay.
But it was a great night, it was obviously really good.
Yeah, fair enough. What about after that? Did you... Heathen Chemistry and Don't Believe and Familiars? Dig Out Your Soul tours?
It's a bit weird. There's a bit of a gap. I saw them the Eden Project.
Oh, wow.
Which is like one of their last gigs. And Oasis Cardiff Stadium around 2009. Reading 2000.
Wait, Reading 2000 is like the greatest ever lineup, maybe, of a festival ever, with Primal Scream and with everyone.
But Oasis weren't very good that night.
No?
Okay. No. I was walking away because Muse, who I also love, were playing the secondary stage. I was walking away thinking, I'm going to see Muse. And for some reason, they started cigarettes out and alcohol, and it really kicked off. And there's a lightning storm behind them.
Wow.
In the sky, and something just stayed after that. But they weren't that great that night at Reading. That was a time where Liam and Noel were really not right. And it seemed like it was going to end then, to be honest.
Yeah. So. There's this various points over the years where it's like, it's going to be the end.
Yeah, but
it's one of those ones that like just carried on for all those years of like, you know, just is it, you know, fizzling out, but it just kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
And I think when I look back, because I didn't go again after Wembley Stadium 2000, I sort of think, well, yeah, I just didn't, it just fell away. I wasn't that desperate to see them. I felt I'd seen it. I'd seen it a few times. I was like, done, to be honest. But
when was the first time you saw them? So
here, Cardiff International Arena in March 96.
Yeah, so that's prime.
Oh, actually here. Yeah.
That's
here.
Prime.
So actually here.
Yeah, that's prime time, isn't it?
Yeah, really? So this is like, yeah, because that was before the big summer gigs where they changed it around to do like Cast and Shadow and Master Plan and stuff like that. So Noel was still doing his acoustic set. And I'll drop in a little bit of that in here.
I think Man United got beat tonight. No, Newcastle won tonight. Newcastle won the back on top of the league.
You're my age and you could go.
Yeah, I was allowed to go.
So jealous.
You got a lift with Ben's mum.
That was Gary's mum, I thought.
Was it Gary's mum?
I think it was Gary's mum.
Okay, Gary's.
I remember being on the street outside there because they finished with I Am The Walrus, singing I Am The Walrus like in the middle of the street. And I remember being as close to death as I'd ever felt in my life. And I bought like an Oasis black skinny tee and I put it on and I remember thinking like, I bet I look really cool. I'm being like really feeling like close to death, like I can't take this anymore, but oh my god, they've just started playing, you know, whatever, Cigarettes and Alcohol, whatever, and Charge Back In Again. And then coming out at the end of the gig thinking I probably still look pretty cool and catching myself in the mirror and I just look like the sweatiest, skinny, like, you know, 15. I haven't turned 16 yet. So it's like the skinny mess with like hair all over that just looked like a heroin
Monday
addict.
Night as well, wasn't it? Wasn't
was it a Monday night?
School night.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
It was. School
night. Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's fine. So what are you looking forward to, Michael, tonight?
I hear he's doing Little by Little this tour, yeah. Which I is one of my favourite songs. And if I'm honest, the second album is solo album. I'm a bit cagey on. I don't know a lot of it. I don't know why. It never took to me. But all of it. Well, it's Noel, isn't it?
It's Noel.
It's going to sound great. The band's going to be great. Yeah. What's not to love?
What about you, Joe?
Mr. Blobby. Oh no, that's sorry, wrong Noel. I think I'm looking forward to the live versions of the more eclectic music of the last album, how they get okay. all together, because Oasis were always a great one for a staggering live version of a slightly more challenging album track. Okay. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Noel's done it now, because that was clearly Noel Gallagher, so we'll see.
I'm looking forward to Keep On Reaching, the bits I've heard of Keep On Reaching. I know you've tried to say sort of spoiler-free, Michael. I've been following it quite closely of what people have been doing. And I know he starts with sort of the start of the last album. And so, and then Keep On Reaching's in that. And I think Jess is doing vocals on Keep On Reaching, so I'm looking forward to hearing
your
that.
Your mate Jess.
My mate Jess. My good... We're practically a couple, really. All right, anyway, so we're going to go and grab a drink and go and see Noel. We'll catch up in a bit.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we're in the... That's just these guys were just saying like I just said go on we'll do some recording come on and he's like what is that how you do yeah of course you want people to do it. Anyway so we're here in the arena I've been joined by the two fifths of the leading Oasis tribute band the official Oasis tribute band of the Oasis podcast because no other fuckers come on
the endorsed tribute band
Aaron and Sean how you doing guys
yeah very well looking forward to tonight looking forward to it
have you seen Noel before
yeah many times yeah I've been around Europe watching him so dragged the wife to France Germany Belgium and then here the last time he played here Bournemouth a few years back the last tour enough times really so.
Cool. What about you Sean
actually I was saying to Aaron earlier today that about 20 years ago I watched Oasis here in 98 on Be Here Night Tour, so it's literally almost like 20 years, so a bit random. Right?
It's funny, I was just saying these guys, my first Oasis gig was here, March 96, at the arena here.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, it's just a bit, I haven't been back in since. I'm like, yeah, this does feel the same, actually.
It's not changed much, they played it, didn't they? They played here, was it in the Heathen Chemistry Tour, I think they played it, didn't they? And then the Dig Out Your Song Tour they played here as well, but I never came to those. I went to the Bournemouth ones
And how's the Oasis going on?
It's good. Yeah, we got a little bit of a couple of weeks off. Well, 6 weeks off, I think now, due to baby arrivals. But yeah, we were in Bristol last night. That went well. That sold out, which is great.
That's your big one, isn't it? It's your biggest one you do?
Not biggest, but it's sold out like six times in a row now, isn't it? Yeah. So they've booked us in an extra date this year to for the demand, which is mad, really. Just a tribute, but it seems to be going right. But yeah, it's good. So it was late like last night. I was in Exeter watching the Mighty Blue Tones on Friday night. So.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. How was that?
It's good. Yeah, again, I'm quite fortunate enough to know them. So I had a AAA pass and all that stuff. So I was
How come you know them? Is it...
Knows everyone.
We played an originals band before doing the tribute, and we toured with them for about four or five dates in the Southwest. And then I kept in contact with Mark, and I did a bit of promotion when Mark kind of played. So, yeah, it's been a busy few days, but good.
Fair play. What have you guys got coming up after this break?
Yeah, festivals now. So we got the rest of this month and then June off. And then it's festivals, isn't it?
Yeah, festivals.
So we're up north, Enfield, we've got one other way, I think. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. And then just the usual run of venues between July and December, which is quite...
Yeah, Weymouth, Southampton, Gloucester.
Yeah, what else? Yeah, Gloucester's always a big one, isn't it? Yeah,
Cardiff, is that? Are we here?
Yeah, Cardiff, Swansea, we're back this way.
Sin City,
Quite a lot, can't remember off the top of my head.
It's
all good, yeah. Flying the flag.
Keeping it going.
Yeah, trying to anyway.
Keeping the dream alive, as I say. Cool. And what are you looking forward to tonight? Is there a particular track you really want to hear?
No, I'm looking forward to being a bit of a geek, probably Sean or Batman. I just want to see how they are musically as well, with obviously the extra members as well. We were saying earlier on, I'm not really one of those people that comes here to listen to the Oasis songs, really. I've heard them a million times. I bore myself with them every week when we're gigging, so I want to hear the stuff off the new album, what it sounds like. I tried to steer away from looking at the set list online, so I tried... actively to not look. So I don't know. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I know it. I know exactly what the set is going to be.
I've seen it. I didn't want that situation.
This is total spoilers. It's like having gone to see the Avengers last week. I knew everyone that died. But yeah, no, I know exactly what the set is going to be. I've had all the guys reviewing it. I've been playing on the podcast, I know exactly what people are thinking about it. The one for me, I was just saying to the other guys, keep on reaching. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be good. That's probably one of my favourites on the album anyway. So.
Because it's got that Paul Weller-y sort of vibe, and from what I've heard from the bits I've heard, Jess really gets to give it some on backing vocals.
Good.
So, you know, our friend of the podcast, Jess, so we're looking forward to that.
Good.
And although it's not probably my favourite on the album, I am actually looking forward to hearing what Wisey does on Be Careful What You Wish For.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Getting her to get her Afrobeat kind of thing going on. I'm looking forward to that. So.
That's what I mean. The newest song's always nice to hear live for the first time. Again, I've steered away from videos and stuff like that online, so yeah, be good.
Cool. I'd like to hear Lock All The Doors.
Lock All The Doors?
Yeah.
They're not playing
Play it now. That's not on the set list.
Never mind.
That was last tour, mate. That was last tour.
That's a cracker, though, that song.
That is a great tune.
It's not been on the set list, is it?
No, I'm going home, then.
See you later. All right, well, he's off, so we're going to say goodbye. So goodbye to Oasis.
And goodbye to all the listeners. Cheers. See you again soon.
See you soon.
All right, cheers, boys. So we've come out of the gig, we're back at the hotel, and the very salubrious surroundings of the Ibis Budget, and what a gig. I'm just going to go to my notes to see the notes I made while watching, which was a bit of a geeky thing to do, but hey, that's me. So we started off with the four tracks from the latest album. What did you think of those, Joel?
Yeah, they're good.
I thought from the main ones, the one thing I did, as I said, before it started, the one thing I was really looking forward to was Keep On Reaching, and I thought Keep On Reaching worked really well.
And Fort Knox actually is a great live track, saying it's walk-on instrumental, but they turned it into a band track without really doing very much to it. It worked really well with them all playing and that bit of Noel singing.
Yeah, I thought it worked nicely. And then for me, like with Keep On Reaching, I thought Jess's vocal did really... Jess did really well on that track. That was nice to see her have a little bit extra to do, which was really cool. I thought the light show was really good. I think especially on A Beautiful World, I thought the light's really cool. And it was like when they said it's a beautiful world, the light sort of swept across the stage, which I thought was really good. I thought generally the lights were very good.
Well, the video, there was a lot of referencing the lyrics of each song in the video they had set up.
Yeah, and then it's not just sort of showing what's on stage, but there'd be like bits where, it'd be black and white or it'd be colourful or whatever. It's good. It was a really good light show, I thought. I thought Noel's face was often very scrunched up. He was often like... just sort of straining and
it was the lights that they had behind him meant that you sort of lost the sort of widest bit of his head and the top of his ears, so it looked like he had a weird like pinhead. And then the lights would cut and you'd realise it's just because the lights had blocked off a bit of his ear and his his pretty impressive mane.
Yes. Yeah. But no, I think
that's always been his singing voice.
Yeah, but I think he very rarely, it was like you couldn't see his eyes for the whole show. It was basically just straining the whole time, which I thought was quite a little funny. One thing we pointed out, in the heat of the moment, the fact that on the drive down, we were talking about it, and that one of the things I don't like about In the Heat of the Moment is the fact it's got that like... which I just don't like. I think it's like...
adds nothing.
Yeah, it adds nothing. It's just a bit annoying. We were saying that would be better on guitar, but actually what they do in this live show, he doesn't sing it, but it is on
the brass play it.
That's great.
And it works really
well.
It was
a much better song for it, because it's the silly bit at the start. You're like, oh no, this is a good song coming now.
Yeah.
You have to sort of get through that. Oh, I was doing that.
But yeah, so I thought that really, really helped. I really like that. River Man, I thought Gem did a great guitar solo on River Man.
Yeah.
And generally, I think this is like Gem's... For me, I think Gem was the MVP, right? I think Gem was fantastic. And I think in the days of Oasis...
Get him on the podcast, mate.
Yeah, well, hopefully I will. But the... in Oasis, the fact that he was often like second fiddle to Noel, or he'd be doing like little bits in between Noel's lead, whereas Noel did no lead at all, as far as I'm aware. It was like,
he played the like little whale noise before the start of the vocal on What Alive.
Oh, right.
It was Noel, and everything else was Gem.
It was, yeah, pretty much Gem was just doing the guitar the whole way through.
Well,
Noel's
a singer
like,
now, like, he can't be like playing too many guitar solos.
Yeah, true. But it was just a surprise. That's not what I was expecting, and I was expecting Noel to be like a combination. But no, it's pretty much that Noel's just playing, Gem's just playing lead the whole way through, so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I thought Chris Sharrock, on the... Ballad of the Mighty Eye, I thought like that, the way that starts off, like Chris Sharrock was just rocking it, and I thought the whole way through, I thought Chris Sharrock was fantastic.
It's a bit one-paced, like there's not a lot of light and dark, so the songs that Alan White drummed, there's just a little bit more subtlety to the whole thing.
Okay.
I think Chris Sharrock would play Definitely Maybe brilliantly, but yeah. I just it's all a little bit thud.
Okay. Oh, fair enough.
So for me, like Alan White's drumbeat is quite lyrical.
Yeah, yeah. What was the B-side we were talking about on the way in that was like, My Sister Lover? And it's there's so many. Yeah, all the way through. It's very.
Have you ever done beatboxing?
Yes, I should do. Maybe that'll be my.
That's my next. See him a beardy man, to be honest.
That's my next podcast. The beatbox podcast.
Just an hour.
No talking. So like all the way through, the note I've made after like all the way through that even up to the Oasis songs, the first talking he did was before Little by Little, which was about 7 or 8 tracks in. He'd done zero interaction at all.
Well, he's the only banter. They introduced the band and then he sort of talked about the football today.
Yeah.
That was it. That's all he did.
So there was the one that was before Little by Little, where he said like, oh, any Oasis fans here? And there was a little bit of talk about football there.
Yeah.
And then there was introducing the girls. And then there was introducing the rest of the band right at the end in the encore, and that was pretty much it.
When he humiliated the saxophone player.
Yeah, what was that? I mean, he must be a Swansea fan or something. But the fact the crowd just went like, boo. It's like, why? What was that all about? I didn't quite
get that. He asked him a question and told him off because he's spoken to the mic rather than nodding his head.
Well, no, but the first... Yeah, but first he started booing, and then, then afterwards he did that thing about, no, don't speak. So, yeah, I'm not sure what that was about.
Steve the saxophone player.
Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. I thought If I Had a Gun was a big sing-along.
Yeah.
I thought I was surprised by that because it's not one of my favourite tracks, but there was a real big... Yeah. That got a lot of people into it, singing along and stuff. That was good. Dream On I thought worked really nicely, and that's another one where I thought Jess had a really good backing vocals throughout that. That was nice to hear. Little by Little was great, and obviously that's the first Oasis track, and the one thing that really jumped out is right at the end of that there was like an extra little bit of drum solo that I wasn't quite expecting by Chris Sharrock, so that was good to hear. Once again, I thought Gem did a great job, especially on Love is the Law, where he had quite a bit to do. I think Mike Rowe was generally really good. I really like his style. He's like, he's almost like it's like he's grabbing at the keyboards, you know what I mean? He's not just playing, he's like, he's like a drummer at them or something. I think it's like, I really like
the percussive quality to his playing it.
Yeah, I'd say that sounds about right.
But the Hammond organ is quite a percussive instrument.
Yeah.
I think that is a lot of what he's doing. So.
Yeah. And then Charlotte, I'm not sure what she was doing for a lot of the time. Sure she was adding very much.
You could hear the scissors though.
Yeah, and she taught me how to play.
You could
definitely
hear
them.
Scissors, yeah.
Which is good. And then,
other than the attention
with
the telephone,
yeah,
which is both quite cool and a bit silly at the same time.
Yeah, but hey, that's good. There's a thin line between cool and silly, and they sort of tend to walk it. I had no problem, like, I know people have sort of criticised the lack of Oasis songs, but I think because I knew that's what we were getting, I had no real issue with it, because it's like, well, I know what's coming, and it's like, it's almost like reminds me of when we talked about Liam's album. It's like, don't kind of grieve for what the album isn't, celebrate what it is. And it was the same thing with this. It's like, don't be upset about what the live show could have been, just embrace what it was.
Yeah.
What it was like a really amazing band. And we haven't mentioned like Russ Pritchard on the bass. I thought he did a fantastic job. I thought his bass playing was brilliant all the way through.
It's like they've released three albums, three big selling albums. There's like 30 odd original tracks written by Noel Gallagher, which is more than half of the album content of Oasis that he wrote.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. It would be, you know, if he was 70, you might expect a bit more retrospective from him. But you know, he's still he's a current artist as well as being a legend, so it's fair enough. And actually, I don't know how well that setup would lend itself to playing Oasis songs.
Yeah.
Which is like a big dirty wall of guitar noise and a snarling vocal, neither of which you get with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, actually.
No, yeah. And it's very interesting that when they did play like Half the World Away and Little by Little and Importance Being Idle, like most of them just left the stage. You know, it was just down to the core band playing those tracks. Yeah. So yeah, if you're going to, I suppose, bring in the women and the bass and everything else, it's like, well, yeah, play to the strengths of the band that you've got. It's like playing the players in the right formation, isn't it? It's like they've built the formation, they've built the set list around the team that they've got, rather than just
they've got an album to promote and that's what they've set out for, and then they have to backfill the set with the best of High Flying Birds and a few big sing-along moments. I don't know what they've done about it. Don't Look Back in Anger, they've kind of dialed it down.
Would you have preferred it just to be more straight?
Yeah.
Copy the record, yeah?
Didn't have to copy the record exactly, but as I said, they kind of modified some of the harmonic progression that I don't like as much, and it's just a bit less anthemic for being a bit more countrified.
You said Half the World Away felt a bit bouncy and...
Yeah, it's quite plaintive and wistful on the record. And it's clearly quite an autobiographical track, and it speaks to like the end of a difficult period of the band and the tour. And it's the last thing, I think, that you hear if you listen chronologically to the first album. And then it sounds a bit more like She's Electric when they play it live with the like booms, da-dooms, drum all the way through. And it's not as... And the brass playing is sort of that kind of Mellotron sound. It's still a brilliant song, but it is less brilliant than on the record.
Fair enough. And what about Wonderwall? And
Wonderwall, I thought tonight was quite a fair bit closer to the original Oasis record in terms of the arrangement. He's kind of moved away again from the Ryan Adams cover version, the cover of the cover that he was doing. You know, they've got the drum beat coming in and Gem doing some of the guitar stuff off the record, and a lot less sort of messing around with the vocals. It's more authentically like the original version.
He still does the "Today is gonna be the day," but he doesn't do, you know, "All the roses are winding." It is back to pretty much the melody. But it's hard because obviously everyone's singing the regular melody, and then you've got like him, even if he is doing the Ryan Adams kind of melody. So all in all, Joe, what did you think of the show?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. It wasn't an Oasis gig, but it wasn't an Oasis gig, so
yeah.
You know, people aren't leaping around like maniacs, which is my recollection of going to see Oasis. But again, like the singers, 51, and yeah, it just is a different time. But it's good.
Yeah, cool. Good. All right, there we go.
How's what we're doing today? How's your shitty football team doing? What happened? Did something happen today? Did something happen today? Did something significant happen today in the world of football? That's what fucking happened today in the world of football. We got crowned the champions of fucking England. Are you Welsh champions now? I know you don't have one of those, do you? Anyway, so what's been happening since the last time I was in Cardiff? Fuck all. Fuck all. And I know people who live here, and there's fuck all out there. Are there any Oasis fans left in this room?
So there we go, that's what me and Joel thought of the gig. That rustling through there was Joel opening a packet of M&M's as loudly as he possibly could. Yeah, not necessarily the best podcast guest, but there you go, this is what I have to put up with. But no, it was a great show. As I say, I've kind of covered it off there, pretty much everything I thought. Or if you head over to Twitter, I did sort of a thread about it on the Monday morning, and I think that the main thing to say is it's about expectations. If you are going to see an Oasis greatest hits, you will be thoroughly disappointed. You know, if you're going to see this band, it's the High Flying Birds, it's not necessarily Noel Gallagher. You need to go and listen to the solo albums, especially Who Built the Moon, and be prepared for the band playing those songs. And yes, you'll get a few Oasis songs, you'll get Little by Little, you'll get the stripped down, more countrified version of Don't Look Back in Anger, you'll get Wonderwall, Go Let It Out. But ultimately, you know, that what you're seeing is a really, really good group of musicians playing an excellent set of songs. Yes, it's not Liam belting out Morning Glory and snarling it away. And as Joel said in there, it's Noel's band isn't there to do that. And my main point I made on Twitter is, you know, for him to be, you know, coming up 51 years old and still trying to do something differently and not just relying on nostalgia, not like, you know, we're going to play Morning Glory from start to finish or something like that. That's what he could do. You know, that's what a lot of people from that generation are doing. They maybe haven't got the luxury of being able to be as creative as he is, or having the fan base will come to see them if they're not, you know, just playing the hits, just knocking out the hits. So, yeah, so while he's still got that ability to try something different and mix it up and not just rely on nostalgia, great, why not? You know, try and do something different. You know, and in doing so, you know, I'm not knocking Liam for what he does. And when we talk about Liam as well, you know, he doesn't play a full just set of Oasis songs. You know, he was mixing it up and playing loads of stuff from the new album as well. So, you know, he has also been sort of trying different things, more in terms of the set list rather than particularly changing the sound significantly like Noel has done. But as we've talked about here, the great thing is there's both options out there for you. If the High Flying Birds isn't your thing, well, go and see Liam, you know. And if you're not bothered about hearing the As You Were tracks, go and see Oasis or Live Forever over in Dublin or Oasis and any of these other Oasis tribute bands that are out there that are phenomenal. You know, because if you want a great night, you can go and see those guys anyway. So all the options are out there for you. There's plenty of ways in going out and hearing Oasis music. Or be sensible, just stay in and listen to the Oasis podcast. Anyway, it's not just Cardiff, obviously. He's played a couple of other gigs and we've had some reviews in. So let's see what everyone else thought. First up, we've got Amy, who has reviewed them in Manchester.
Hey, this is Amy, and I am in Manchester and saw Noel last night at the arena. And I was just going to talk a little bit about that. It was a good show. There were some technical issues with the vocals seemed to drop out, and there was a technical issue with the balloons, but, you know, that was fine. It was good. It was not really different than the shows that I had seen earlier in the year in the States, and according to the set list that I've seen posted on various social media outlets, it wasn't different than any of the other shows that he's played here in the UK. And that's, you know, somewhat disappointing because it's Manchester and you kind of would think that he might do something a little bit different. He didn't really talk to the crowd too much, or he didn't start talking until maybe like 6-7 songs in. And he mostly talked about football. Well, he just had a few things to say about Man City winning the Premier League. I'm going to show my ignorance. I don't know what all that means. But anyway, I know they won that. So, of course, he had something to say about that. And but one funny thing that he did say when he introduced YZ, he said that she doesn't know fuck all about football, but... which by default makes her a Man United fan, and that was pretty funny, actually. But yeah, all in all, it was, you know, it was good. The crowd was really into the Oasis stuff, and that was, you know, and that partly was one of the reasons I wanted to go to Manchester was, well, it was his hometown, and like I've said probably at least 3 times previously, he didn't do anything different, but when the Oasis songs, when he did play them, I mean, everybody was just super into it, and that was really cool being part of 26,000 people singing the same song. You know, that was pretty cool. Anyway, I also took the Oasis tour yesterday with Rose Gill. And that was very worthwhile. It's worth the time and worth the money to go. It's about 3 hours, and we went most places that you would expect and that you would want to go. And we did go to Peggy's house, and couldn't tell if anybody was home. The blinds were kind of opened, but you couldn't really see anybody moving around. She still has her Christmas wreath up on her window, which is pretty funny. But yeah, the tour is really good, so highly recommend if anybody's coming in to town to do the Oasis tour. And I'd do the, you know, one of the others, Smiths or Joy Division, and with Rose as well. So, I guess that's really it. Enjoyed it. I've enjoyed my time here in Manchester. I'd like to come back at some point. And it's a really cool city. All right. Well, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Amy. Much appreciated. And I think we might be hearing from Amy again later on as well. And how cool she took the Oasis tour. I know we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and we got the message from Luis from Brazil, and he was asking about it. And I'll put the link below again. But yeah, anyone coming over, whether it's from overseas or just a different part of the country, and you want to do the Oasis tour and see where the Gallaghers grew up and stuff, then yeah, Rose Gill is the person to do that by the sounds of it. So I'll put the link below, but that sounds pretty cool. I think I might do that at some point, actually. That sounds good. Cool. Okay, here comes another review. And this time it is David Walker, who is reviewing the gig in Birmingham.
Hello, this is Dave Walker. This is my review of Noel Gallagher's Hive of Lonebirds gig at the Arena Birmingham, the 1st of May 2018. So yeah, it's a Tuesday night in Birmingham. The set list is pretty much the standard set list for this gig, I think. I don't think it's changed much. It starts with Fort Knox, then a few of the Who Built the Moon songs, which sounded okay, it was good. The crowd didn't really seem to get very much into it there until kind of in the heat of a moment kicked in and seemed to have more about them there. Until a bit of a mosh pit for that, so that was good. Then he went on to Riverman and the Ballad of Mighty Eye, which I thought sounded really good live. Really enjoyed that. I think it's one of his best songs. So he did a few off the last Noel Gallagher Hive of Lonebirds album. Then he went straight back to the first album and he played If I Had a Gun and Dream On, which was a call because at the start of Dream On, it's a big E chord. And he teased us all a little bit with a bit of cigarettes and alcohol. He played a couple of bars of the riff and there was people around me going insane a bit, thinking he's about to play that. And even I believed it for a second, but it would have been great to have seen, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But he did a good job of Dream On. It sounded good, had a lot of energy. And then on to Little by Little, which I just find odd, these last couple of Noel Gallagher gigs I've been to, that Little by Little, when I used to go and watch Oasis a lot, was always a song that was just all right. And to be fair, a lot of people used to just go to the bar or go to the toilet when that was on. But now it's become like an anthem for Noel Gallagher. And obviously, I think because it's the first Oasis song he played, but the crowd went absolutely mental. And it was he did a good performance of it, and it had lots of energy. Then on to The Importance of Being Idle, which was okay. I'm not that massive fan of Importance of Being Idle. It's okay. He did a good job of it. Sounded as good as the record. The thing with Little by Little and Importance of Being Idle, having Gem back in the band was just amazing because he just plays them like they should be played, really. So I loved hearing Gem play, especially the chorus and the solo in Little by Little. Sorry, it was amazing. He really nailed that, which you'd expect from someone who's actually was there when someone was wrote. But yeah, it's great to hear. Then it was on to back onto some Who Built the Moon songs, Love is the Law, which I didn't think sounded that great live, if I'm being honest. It's just kind of a bit of droned on a bit. Then Dead in the Water, which I love that song. For me, it's the best song on that album, but I don't know, it just didn't seem to capture the magic. I think in time that song will become a really big sing-along, but it was a bit... Okay, a lot of people just didn't seem to know what was going on. I don't think a lot of people in this crowd were really into his new album. They just seemed every time he played some off Who Built the Moon, it went a bit flat, if I'm being honest, which I found strange. Then the worst song of the night for me by far was Be Careful What You Wish For. I think it's the worst song on the album as well. He introduced the girls in the band who are great, and he said in previous gigs that Wisey will make this song better than it is, but she doesn't. It's just a bad song, and if he doesn't think it's very good, I'm just not sure why he's playing it, to be honest. He could whack another Oasis song in there, which would get everyone going, but I don't know, he's set in his ways, I guess. That's what he wants to do. Who am I to tell him what he should play or not? Then She Taught Me How to Fly, which I really like that song, and I don't know why, but that just seemed to, again, the crowd just seemed to be a bit bored with it. It just seemed to go on quite a lot, especially after Be Careful What You Wish For, which is just droned on for ages. She Taught Me How to Fly, like I say, I like that song, but I just don't know, it just didn't come across that well live, I don't think. Then Half the World Away, which is, you know, a great sing-along, and the crowd were all up for that. Personally, like, I love Half the World Away, but I just feel as if I've been on every Noel Gallagher tour since 2009 with Oasis. I'm a bit tired of hearing Half the World Away. And again, then on to Wonderwall, which is, I know he has to play it, it's, you know, a staple song, but again, I'm a bit like, ugh, here we go again. Then AKA What a Life was great, because again, it had the energy, and when he played the songs with the energy, the crowd just seemed to naturally pick up, and it was really good. I really enjoyed AKA What a Life. It sounds really good with the bass drum in the arenas, because it really just pounds, and Chris Sharrock like plays that song really well. Then the encore was The Right Stuff, which, again, it was, I like it, like, I like the guitar bits in it, but my wife was with me and she was kind of a bit bored, and the crowd again just seemed to be getting a bit bored with it. Then on to Go Let It Out, which, I love Go Let It Out as a song. I just don't think Noel should be singing it, personally. I know it's been said before, but I just don't like his voice in it at all. I think it's pretty awful, to be honest, and he sounds a bit like a baby when he sings it, his little baby voice he does, and I just don't... I found that with the Spotify version of it. I didn't really like that either, to be honest. And, yeah, I was glad when that song was over. Again, the guitar in it, again, was great at the end, but, yeah, I wouldn't want to see that again, personally, on his next set list. Then Don't Look Back in Anger, which is a great sing-along. But again, it's just like... I've heard that so many times, but it's great. It's great. It's not... It's just me being miserable, probably, and wanting to hear something else. But I understand why he's got to play Don't Look Back in Anger. That song's been took to a new level over the last couple of years. I prefer it when he does the full band version with the electric guitars. When he first did this version of Don't Look Back in Anger back on the 2009 tour, I thought it was really good and I really enjoyed it, but I'm a bit sick of it like this now. It just seems drone on a bit, but the crowd love it and they sing along, and it's not all bad, it's just me being me. And then All You Need Is Love to finish, which again is just, it's okay, I get why he's doing it, it's something different. He wasn't privileged to have all balloons falling on us like the good people of London, so he obviously doesn't look upon us Midlanders and Brummies the same. So, no, we didn't get no balloons, unfortunately. And the positives of the gigs were, it was having the new people in the band is amazing. Like, the three girls, especially, like, Jess's voice on some of the songs are just amazing. She really does the backing vocals well, and Keep On Reaching especially. And I've got to be honest, I wasn't a fan of Keep On Reaching on the album, but I've got kind of new love for it live now, because her voice is really good on that, and on Wonderwall, and on The Right Stuff, she's just really good. And same with Voicy, she come on. The only criticism I would say is that my wife said to me, it'd be nice to see her do something than just ooh and ah all the time. And I guess I understand where she's coming from. She's got such a good voice. It would be nice to hear her do some other stuff. Maybe that's for the future if he uses her in the studio again. And Charlotte played the scissors, and she's just a character. And I could actually hear the scissors, and she taught me how to fly, so... They are there, it does exist, and it sounded in tune and everything to me, so yeah, they were the good things. There were some negatives as well for me, and to be honest, I think the setlist as a whole, I don't know if it works that well. It just seems, unless it was because it was a Tuesday night in Birmingham and people just weren't that up for it, it just didn't, there was high moments and it dropped off for quite a lot, and I've got to be honest, it seemed whenever he played anything off his new album, people just weren't that interested, and it just didn't seem to have... It wasn't the greatest atmosphere. I've been to every Noel Gallagher tour since he's brought out his first album and second album, and this by far was the... It wasn't the best one I've been to, and it didn't seem to capture the crowd like the other ones did, and I don't know. I don't want to be like a bang on about Oasis, but I do think he could do with some more Oasis tunes in there, and just, for me personally... Some different Oasis tunes to the ones that, you know, I know that he sang Little by Little and The Importance of Being Idle, and that's why he's playing them, but it'd just be nice to hear him, you know, try some other stuff that I think that's what it's starting out for, because there's no doubt that most people are there, I think, to hear the old Oasis stuff, because the reactions when he plays anything Oasis is just amazing, and that's why I find it strange with Little by Little, how that song's took on a new life, but if anything, it proves that he should maybe play some more Oasis, but I can see he wants to promote his records, and, you know, some of the songs on there do sound great. It's not that he should not play anything of his. And again, maybe it was just because it was a Tuesday night in Birmingham. Maybe other gigs have been better. I just didn't get a good vibe, and it seemed a bit flat to me. So, yeah, Noel Gallagher gigs have always been kind of special to me, because on his first album, I went to Birmingham to watch him there as well, and... I went with my girlfriend at the time, and that night after the gig I asked her to marry me, and luckily she said yes, and we've been together 3 years now, married, And we had some good news a couple of months ago that we're expecting our first children, and they're going to be twins. So that's a bit of a shock. But it was great to be back watching Noel again last night, because that technically is their first ever gig they've ever heard. I'm sure they could hear him in there. And hopefully they'll go on to love him as much as I do. They probably won't have much choice with me being their dad, but yeah, that's all good. And yeah, ever since that night, the song If I Had a Gun's always had a special place for me and my wife. It's kind of our little special song that we, the words mean a lot to us, and so it was great to hear that, and it's always a nice moment that is for the both of us. So yeah. So it's on to Liam Gallagher for me now in Finsbury Park, and I have to admit, I've always been a Noel man, but I'm really looking forward to that. So that's enough from me anyway. Thanks, James, and keep up the good work. Cheers.
Thank you very much, Dave. That is absolutely spot on. And you soppy git, putting that bit about your girlfriend in at the time. But anyway, congratulations on the forthcoming arrivals, and I wish you all the best, mate. And yeah, make sure you're playing in plenty of Oasis. We need to keep the new fans coming. And yeah, all the best. Good luck with it. Right, let's have another one, shall we? Another contributor we've heard from before. This is Khan Might Say.
Hi, everyone. Hi, James. Khan Might Say here. I went to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds two nights ago in Birmingham Arena. So I thought I'd share my thoughts on the gig. Absolutely incredible. There was a lot more lighting and showy stuff than I thought, which was brilliant. And yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. The support band, there was a band called Baxter Jury, and I don't understand why they were playing, because their music is so far from Noel Gallagher's, it's hilarious. Like the main guy looks like he's in his 50s, he's wearing a suit, and he's like talking like Phil Daniels on Park Life over this sort of electronic music. It was bizarre. It was just that everyone's face was just hilarious just seeing this band.
Don't waste your life, Claire. Don't waste your life, Claire. Don't waste the things that you might do. And I love you so. Don't waste your bus fare. Don't waste your bus fare. Don't waste the places you might go. And I want you now. There's a cold chill in my heart. There's a cold chill.
Anyway, Noel was brilliant. So opening with Fort Knox. It's the same set list he's been playing for a while now. The first four tracks of Who Built the Moon, all first four in a row. And Fort Knox was just incredible. Audrey just sounds amazing. She sounded great. And it's really nice to hear a really powerful female voice as part of the sound as well. Fort Knox is brilliant. And then it just went straight into Holy Mountain. Keep On Reaching is probably my favourite song off the album, so I absolutely love that song. Their performance was brilliant. Although I was very much alone with my enthusiasm for that song. I seemed to be pretty much the only person jumping up and down and going nuts to that. But obviously I didn't care because I was off my tits. Jess doing the keep on reaching up for that higher ground, that sounded great as well. And yeah, I mean, generally everyone was singing along to the Oasis songs, obviously, but there were like quite a few people that knew all the words to the latest album songs as well, which was good. And Noel himself was on top form. His voice just seems to get stronger and stronger with age. It's just sounds so good at the moment. He himself as well, with his stage presence, he seems a lot more comfortable in his role as a frontman now. and you could see it through some of his body language during the song. So like during Holy Mountain, he like did some funny, like he brushed his shoulder. I can't remember, there was one part of the lyric that like, you know, he was brushing some dust off his shoulder or something. And during Little by Little, when he sang True Perfection Has to Be Imperfect, he sort of stepped back and then pointed at himself. So that was good. In the Heat of the Moment was another highlight for me. I love their live version of that now. And Little by Little was excellent. But Dead in the Water was something special, really, really was. And that performance of just him and Mike on the keys is, it's amazing. Like, just to hear the silence in the crowd and then, like, for the chorus, lots of people singing. It is one of the best songs on the album, even though it's like a bonus track. But the track after that, another one of my favourites on the album, is Be Careful What You Wish For. And I love that song with Audrey and Noel singing that chorus at the same time. I know it's not a popular song amongst fans, but it's one of my favourites off the record. The bass didn't sound as good as it does on the record for that one, but I still like the version they did. I also enjoyed a lot the backing vocals, and it just contributes overall to a very tight, nice, very musical, melodic sound to them. And I think that having a female backing singer and a male one with Russell and Jess is really good, because you can get more notes, like more higher notes, because Noel's voice is fairly high as it is. So it's good to have a female voice in there to go a bit higher. I don't think Noel said a word to the crowd until about the sixth song. I think maybe after Riverman, or maybe after Ballad of the Mighty Eye, where he made some quite caustic, sarcastic comments. And the other thing, Chris Sharrett, oh my God. So I forgot how incredible a drummer Chris is. On The Right Stuff, his drumming was just amazing. I mean, throughout the whole gig, but like especially on that song. And that was great as well, because you had, in The Right Stuff, you've got Gem doing a bit of solo stuff, and then Chris. And that song sounds so good as well. It's one of my favourite songs off Chasing Yesterday. They did Half the World Away, Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger, Go Let It Out, which is a bit weird. But that was a good song. I think there's others though. I mean, that's the problem. There's just so many songs that they could do. But I was surprised by the omission of The Man Who Built the Moon, because that's another standout track, and I would have thought maybe play it just before Don't Look Back in Anger, All You Need Is Love at the end, because it's the closing track on the album. Maybe you could have played it near the end of the gig, because it's a great song. That was a bit disappointing. But and also, yeah, I didn't play Black and White Sunshine. I mean, I know if he played both those songs, that's the entire album he would have played, but that sounds good live as well. I've seen some videos of that and heard Black and White Sunshine, which sounds really good. All You Need Is Love was a magnificent touch at the end. I've seen them again on what was that show, Sports Personality of the Year or something, I think, yeah. They did it, but to hear it live was brilliant. And then they did like a salute when the intro with the French national anthem plays. It all stepped back and did a salute. That was really funny. So there you go. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Everyone, go and watch them and buy the T-shirts.
Cheers for that, Carl, might say. You've made me think of a couple of other points I wanted to make as well, which is great. Yeah, I didn't mention at all Noel Gallagher. Like, you know, everyone always talks, whenever Liam sings, we talk about Liam and his presence and his voice and whatever. But Noel's voice is always spot on, always absolutely perfect. He's even shifted things to be even higher. Never wavers. You never even think about it because he's always so consummate and so perfect in everything he does. So yeah, okay, he hasn't got the same aggression. I think we've, as we've sort of covered off, something like Go Let It Out probably needs Liam's voice really to really take it to that next level. But all those tracks like Dead in the Water, especially, you know, Noel's voice is just absolutely perfect and brilliant in that sort of environment. So yeah, hats off to Noel for that. The support band, that Baxter Dury. I don't know if many people saw them, because you know, most people sort of still just drinking at that point. But yeah, sound weird. They didn't play Cardiff. We had a band called Silent K, which is a bunch of Scousers and sort of connected to the Zootons, Dave McCabe, I believe. And they sounded pretty good. I mean, they had that sort of Zootons choral kind of, but a bit rockier than the choral sort of sound. And I like them. It's always tricky when you've got that situation where what can you do? People aren't there to see you. But anyway, it was good. It was a decent little warm-up act before the main event. So fair play to Silent K. And one other point I wanted to make about All You Need Is Love that I forgot is that at the end of All You Need Is Love, they briefly say, "Love is the meaning of life. Life is the meaning of love," which is from Love Life, which is the Ruttles version of All You Need Is Love, which I thought was a great touch. I love the Ruttles almost as much as I love the Beatles. And so for them to have dropped in a little Ruttles reference, I thought was absolutely fantastic. Okay, last review we've got for you today is from our good friend Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys, and he's carried on, he's chasing Noel around the country, and this one is from Nottingham.
Thank you very much, good evening Nottingham.
Hi James, this is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys with a geek review of Noel Gallagher at the Nottingham Motor Point Arena, Monday, April the 30th, 2018.
What's been going on in this town lately? Anything? How are your shit football teams doing? Any good? Any good? Dog shit. Dog shit. Look at that there. What does it say to you? Champions of fucking England, that's what that says. Anyway, so let's not fucking get too heavy straight away. We're getting there in a bit. By your haircuts, there are still some Oasis fans left in this town. Alright, butcher boy, kiss my arsehole. Well, I'm about to make your night.
So as followers may know, I went to the Wembley gig in London on Friday for my big birthday, and my family had tickets for Nottingham and one of them couldn't go. So I picked up a standing ticket to go again and experience the gig from the floor, which I would say is far better than the experience I had right at the back of Wembley Arena. So certainly a plus. Fairly obviously the same set list, and I'll provide some highlights of the talking and just the gig in general. Friend of the podcast, Justine, seemed to be on form. Here's a bit of If I Had a Gun with her. There was certainly much less talking in between songs, and not even an introduction for sort of Donald Back in Anger or anything. So apart from the band introductions and that kind of football banter we had at the beginning, there wasn't too much in the way of interaction.
All the way from Camden Town in London, which is effectively where you wish you lived.
Noel improved his fairly typical relationship with the Nottingham crowd.
She doubles as a fucking masseuse, as well as a keyboard player and a fantastic singer. It's Jessica Greenfield. Now, this little guy beside her, it was her birthday yesterday. That's right, it was her birthday. She was 73 years old yesterday. How amazing is that? Look at her. Now, she nearly never did this tour because she was going to enter Britain's Got Talent, playing the scissors. But she fucked Simon Cowell off for this, to do this. She is amazing. She is Michelle and Marion Holt. There she is. She's wearing a brand new shirt that she got for her birthday, her 73rd birthday. So, I would like to reintroduce to the stage Miss YC. She's from Marseille in France, where I wish I fucking lived.
She Taught Me to Fly seems to definitely be a winner with the crowd, with the put your money where your mouth is line, really gets the crowd going. So might be one we see back for in future for the live environments in the next tour. I think Gem is, I don't know, very understated on this tour. He's definitely the quiet one, so let's get that Don't Look Back in Anger solo, because I don't think it gets enough love. Difference of note is, as I said on Twitter, there were no balloons, which I kind of noticed towards the end. I was waiting for the balloons and looked up. Normally the balloons are in a big net, and there wasn't any. So whether the building didn't agree for whatever reason, or they couldn't get up there to hang them, it's strange because it's a similar arena, and hopefully the crowd didn't mind too much. No one really seemed to mention it apart from me and certainly my surroundings. So. Yeah, not too many uber geeks like us there. So in conclusion, I had a much better time on the front. I normally sit at the side of these gigs, because then you can sort of stand up and see the whole arena. I prefer to be sat towards the front of the side. The standing was okay though, only one chavvy girl trying to cause a fight next to us, so that's not bad. And also the gig atmosphere doesn't really lend itself to pint and piss throwing. I think I only got hit once, which is quite good to be sort of stood in the front. Certainly a contrast to their being there for Liam in December, but I was, you know, safely at the side for that gig, taking it all in. So who knows? I don't know if I'll make it to another one. One thing I wanted to do is get my... I actually have a Epiphone Supernova, and I wanted to get the scratch plate of that signed at some point. I'm trying to figure out how. Maybe I could go and line up outside a Manchester on Friday, but there's a small thing called work, so yeah, we'll see. Till next time, take care. Thanks, bye.
Spot on as always, mate. That's absolutely fantastic. Right, this is the Oasis podcast after all, not the Noel Gallagher podcast. So why don't we talk about some Oasis, yeah? Let's carry on with our Oasis A to Z with the track Alive, or Alive 8-track demo, as it's officially called. So just let's cover off some basics and then we'll move on to your recorded thoughts to start off with. The track was released on the Shaker Maker single, and it's the classic original lineup with Tony McCarroll on drums. I think there's only one guitar in there, so I'm not sure if Bonehead's playing on this. You can hear the bass bubbling away, and maybe it's not Griggs. It could be Noel's played the bass. It sounds like there's one guitar track that Noel's probably playing, and then you've got Liam's vocals. And as I say, this is an 8-track demo. This is not a recorded version official. So it's interesting that they put this out. And I asked the expert on all things sort of demos and Oasis recording info, which is David Huggins. He's a far better source than Tony McCarroll, who actually played on it, who could remember nothing about it at all. I texted him and he just said, "Sorry, mate, can't remember. I think it came together in the boardwalk." And that's all he had. So the interesting thing to point out is that the version on the CD single is mono and mastered from a cassette source. And David says, presumably by this point, the band no longer had access to the multi-track masters from the Liverpool sessions, which would have allowed them to remix the track in stereo to a professional format, DAT or half-inch analog tape, as was done with the white label demo mix of Columbia. And there is a live demonstration cassette version of it, which sounds slightly different as well. So let's have a little bit of the two of them side to side so you can hear the difference. So before we get too further into it, let's listen to your views. So the first one came in from Johnny Micklewright.
So I think it's pretty obvious that you can tell it's an early track from Oasis. Other than Liam's voice sounding very young, I feel like they haven't yet found their own identity at this point in their own music. But instead, they seem to draw on influences from other Manchester bands in this song. So like at the start of the song, the type of drum beats together with the bass line that leads the track, that reminds me of Joy Division. So you could take a song like Disorder and that has a very similar start to it, I think. Different tempo but similar style. And however, when the guitar starts, and particularly when Liam's vocal starts, I feel it bears comparison to the Stone Roses. So generally how Liam's delivery of the vocal allows it to blend in with the melody and the tone of the guitar, I feel that's pretty distinctive of Stone Roses, which were obviously a big influence on Oasis, as both Gallagher's have admitted themselves. And also, at the end of every other line, the pitch fluctuation reminds me of the Stone Roses as well. So, for example, the first line is that the people will notice that the times are changing. And I feel that you could take, for example, Sally Cinnamon, and the first couple of bars of that are, until Sally I was never happy, I needed so much more. So it goes sort of up and then down at the end of every couple of bars. So yeah, I mean, it would have been interesting to see what the track would have sounded like had they recorded it. But I can understand why they didn't, as it doesn't really have a focal point to it, the song. The chorus, you know, towards the end of it, it's quite interesting. But yeah, overall, I mean, it's cool to see where a band like Oasis started and how they did find more of a distinctive identity.
Hey, this is Amy. In Birmingham, Alabama. Actually, no, I'm in Sheffield, England. But still listening to the Oasis podcast, which is awesome. So I listened to the track Alive, and you know, I think it sounds very much of its time. It sounds very kind of early 90s garage band to me. I would have liked it. I would have liked that back then. And at first I was thinking, oh, it's maybe a little more musically complex. But I don't think the chords are all that complex, or he did, you know, anything great, wonderful is going on. Like, it was some super awesome chord progression, but the melodically there was a lot of interesting things going on in that song. I didn't find lyrically that anything changed my life necessarily, but I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily turn it off if it came on in the car, or my iPhone or iPod or whatever. I might. It would just depend on my mood. But yeah, it's okay. I think everybody should give it a listen. See if they hear the 90s trying to creep out. Okay, thanks. And hopefully I'm going to send this to the right email address this time. Bye.
Yes, Amy, congratulations. Correct email address this time. Just to clarify, Amy was one of the people that had sent stuff before to oasispodcast@gmail.com and not oasispod@gmail.com, which is the correct address. So please, if you're emailing me, oasispod@gmail.com. Yeah, great. Thank you very much, Amy. Some very good points. I completely agree. It really does sound quite dated, I think, in a way that a lot of Oasis stuff doesn't. A lot of Oasis stuff just sounds classic, like it could be from any era, but this definitely does still sound like an early 90s garage band, exactly as you've said. So let's get into your thoughts on Twitter. As I always do, I ran a little poll on it, and you could rate it out of 5. 5 out of 5 got 18%, 4 got 40%, 3 got 34%, and 2 got 8%, which was quite interesting. So it ended up with 4 overall, effectively. And there were some interesting comments. Dan Best said, ask the bottleman Van McCann. Guitar parts in Pacifier owe a lot to this song. And this, I wasn't aware of this. And it's pretty clear, so let's have a little bit of that. Tommy Hill, who is at number one T-Man, said, I forgot about this song, and when I played it to give you my rating, I instantly remembered it. Lyrics are typical Donald's classic songwriting and just hit the spot with the audience. Liam's voice is great too. Solid, easy, 4, could have made it on an album, T. Pine Vinyl said, this is one I wish they'd dust off, either of them. Chorus would work for a Noel ballad or a rockier punk Liam. Sufjan Irfan, who is at Big Man Like Irfan, said, it's not what you'd expect from a typical Oasis tune, but loved this song as it was one of their earliest songs. It reflects the early development of the band and showcases a far more mellow, darker, almost dare I say it, Ian Curtis kind of tone from Liam. Brilliant B-side, 4 out of 5 from me. Ryan Harvey, I think I got Shaker Maker single later on when to just complete the collection, so I probably have only heard this a couple of times 15 years ago. Sounds instantly Stone Roses influenced at the start. Not really one to discover in 2018, I think. Doesn't blow me away. 2. Louise Amaral said 80s vibe on this tune, especially the guitar riff. Good stuff. Michael Lee said it's rocky but kind of mellow too. I love it. Brianna Westervelt said, Alive is definitely a throwback tune because of how different Liam's voice sounds. Similar to Take Me and Colour My Life, actually. The lyrics don't have a huge impact on me, but the jam sesh towards the end is by far my favourite part of this song. I've All I Need, who is at Supernova Dragon, said, Adore this and I Will Believe. Yeah, I always kind of lump in this with I Will Believe as well. Both are understated on the recordings, but Alive is just missing a proper recording. If only they'd done a proper version rather than a demo. I gave this a 4 because of just how good it is for a demo. Parker Chimp, who is at Empire Thompson, said, Love the tune, always wanted it to be on the master plan. Also helped to make Shaker Maker one of my favourite singles, Lovely Green Disc 2. Uplifting lyrics, great melody and youthful sound. Would have loved to hear it live more and or a Noel acoustic version. And then at BRFC, who is Mark Crabtree 17, said, not one of their best B-sides, but still decent. So thank you everyone for all your comments. Personally, one of the things I think I can hear in there is Everlong by the Foo Fighters. Now, I know this came out before Everlong, but it's just got that same sort of vibe. There's quite a darkness in the guitar playing and the bass. So yeah, have a listen to this. Do you think it's got a bit of a touch of the Everlongs about it?
Thank you.
So let's look at the lyrics. So it goes, the people will notice that the times are changing. It's just for now, but not for good. It's my feelings that I think you're draining. Take them now if you think you should. You want something for nothing. The higher that you climb, the longer you fall. Maybe your time is coming. Will you ask to climb when you find the wall? It's a time to doubt. It's a time to wait. Will you be left alone at the starting gate? I'm not blind and I don't mind, because I've got time now. I'm alive. The people have noticed that the times are changing, but are they going to be something now? I think I've seen you all hesitating. I think I'll go and be something now. You want something for nothing. The higher that the climb, the longer you fall, etc. And then it just goes, because I'm alive. It ends with, because I've had time now, I'm alive. Yeah, I'm alive. Now I'm alive. Yeah, I'm alive. So it's quite interesting. It's one of those songs that sounds like it's a rock and roll star that's like, I'm trying to make it. And either sort of, you're holding me back, or you're not going to make it and I am going to make it kind of vibe. That's what I sort of get from it. It's like the times are changing. It's my feelings that you're draining. It's like people around him. Maybe it's people doubting Noel that he could never make it. And he doesn't want them draining him. He wants to just go off and make it. And yeah, he thinks that the people around him are sort of holding him down. And I think it's also, I think he's singing it to himself. He's saying it's his own doubts as well. The higher that you climb, the longer you fall. Maybe your time is coming. Will you ask to climb when you find the wall? Will you be left alone at the starting gate? I think he's talking about himself making it. Are these people going to come for the journey? Are they going to not come along with him? You know, and I think the key line is, it, I think I'll go and be something now. You know, he is saying, I'm going to go and do this. And I think a lot of bands have that when they're sort of making it. Their first sort of few songs have got that sort of, you know, we're going to make it, you're not going to drag me down kind of vibe to it. And I think that's really what's going on in the lyrics there. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, though. Do you think that's the case, or do you think it's something else entirely? Anyway, give me a shout. Chords-wise, as I say, it's pretty simple. It's in E, and it's going to sort of E and C-sharp minor. So the verse is just bouncing between those two. And then into that You Want Something for Nothing section, that goes to F-sharp minor, A, E, B, F-sharp minor, A, E, B, and then the I'm Not Blind, I Don't Mind is F sharp minor, A, E, A, E. And then it's that do 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 is going between the E and E, A, E, which is quite nice to play on guitar, because it's, especially for someone rubbish like me, it's quite good fun, because it's quite simple, but very effective. I think in terms of the musicianship, I think what Tony's doing throughout is really good. He's just keeping it going. As I mentioned at the start, the bass sort of bubbles around quite a lot. It's quite a prominent bass line, which you don't then hear sort of later on when they start recording things properly and layering on layer after layer of guitars, and so the bass suddenly gets lost. You can hear the bass quite prominently in this tune, which I do appreciate. As I said earlier, I think the guitar line is really good. I think it's a really nice... You know, it's almost like a when you have a one guitar in a band rather than a rhythm and a lead. So it's sort of, it's doing the chords and then it's going into those riffs as well, which is really nice to hear. Because they haven't really found their sound yet, you know, they haven't developed it yet. And so this is sort of still in that Stone Roses-y sort of feel where it's one guitar doing everything. And as we said, Liam's vocal is very young. It's much more in that sort of Life in Vain, Colour My Life sort of, area. It sort of seems to be a bridge between that and then the later Definitely Maybe tracks, where he's suddenly starting to find his voice a bit more. And as was pointed out by one of the Twitter commenters, we have that bit of a jam session at the end that goes into a bit of a guitar solo at the end, which is quite cool. We'll be right back. So according to Setlist FM, which isn't always accurate, but I think for those early Oasis gigs, it's pretty close. It was never played live, which I can kind of understand. I suppose they did have some really good songs in those early days that they were playing. And it maybe feels more like one that's come together sort of more sort of in the studio. I think, as Tony said in that text to me, it sort of came together in the Boardwalk. So I don't know how long it was kind of around before, you know, how many gigs they were playing around that time, really, between that and then the release of it, you know, and it being recorded in 1993 and released on Shaker Maker, but they certainly weren't sort of playing it typically. And I can understand it. There was a lot of better songs around at the time that probably would have fitted in the set quite better. Now, where should it fit? Should it have been the album? I think I can't really think of anything that I would have dropped from the album to put it in there. That Definitely Maybe album is so strong. What could you have dropped? Nothing. No, even the, what's perceived to be like the weaker songs like Dixie's Dinner. No way. No, I'm not dropping Dixie's Dinner for that. I love Dixie's Dinner. So no, I think Alive, you are staying as a B-side. The one thing that I would do, though, is I would have... I would love to hear a really good recorded version of it, whether it be acoustic or whether it be a rockier version. That would be really, really good to hear. One thing that is interesting to hear, though, there's a guy who goes under Georgia Rose 16 on YouTube who does a good, good version of it, acoustic, which is good to hear. You want something but nothing. The higher that you climb, the longer you fall. Maybe your time is coming. You have to climb when you find the wall. Is it time to doubt? Is it time to wait? Will you be left alone at the starting gate? I'm not blind and I don't mind, cause I got time now, I'm alive. And there's also an Italian Oasis tribute band that have covered it, and it's on YouTube, live at Stazione Birra, Roma, on the 31st of January 2015, which is an Oasis Mania night, so less said about that the better, but it's quite interesting to hear. So there you go. It's a really good track. I like it. As I say, it's a what could have been, because it would have been nice to hear a good, fully realised, sort of engineered version of it with that magic Owen Morris juice sprinkled on the top. But yeah, it is what it is. Right, so that'll do it for this episode of the Oasis podcast. Thanks everyone for listening and downloading and telling your friends and doing everything that you do. Thanks, as always, go to our patrons. And one thing I just wanted to say, because someone did ask me this week about the $5 per month level. I'd mentioned last week that I'd sent out this Masterplan 12-inch promo to one of the patrons. And they sort of said, well, you know, I'm a $5 a month patron. When do I get my piece of Oasis merch? And generally what I do is... I'm sort of working through it chronologically of people that signed up at the $5 a month level. And what I tend to do is wait until donations through Patreon have increased more than the value of the thing I'm sending, and obviously the postage as well, because otherwise someone could literally sign up at $5 a month and then I send them something worth like 20, 30 quid and then they disappear again. So just to make you aware, if you are a $5 patron, thank you very much. You will get something from me. That's going to be pretty cool. Just be patient, please. And once the funds have gone above the level where I'm not going to be out of pocket if you decide to bugger off, then that will be coming your way. So remember to follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, just at Oasis Podcast. Any feedback or thoughts or comments, please email oasispod@gmail.com. You can support at patreon.com/oasispod. And please do iTunes reviews for me. Please give me 5 stars and write something nice. That would be great. And finally, the voting is still open for the British Podcast Awards. They just announced the top 20 currently in contention for the Listener's Choice Awards, and I wasn't in the top 20, which was a pain, but there we go. Anyway, so if you are seeing Noel in the next few days, enjoy it. Until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.